What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
What's up? Lightning Phil? I'm gonna start you off with a little song I wrote about Starkville a long time ago. Song about Starkville, Mississippi. Probably one of the oldest I ever wrote. I'm gonna pause and retune this dude real quick. Well, it's another song I wrote. This one's about Bentonia, a dude named Yard Chicken. Thank you. city, moving all around, jacked up Willie, baby, come jacked up Willie Brown. New stuff puts you in the ground, too tough, tough for Willie, baby. Jacked up Willie Brown, baby. No, you can't touch it. Jacked up Willie. And Tony, if you got any experience at the Blue Front Cafe, that one will make a lot more sense to you. It's a song about Huntsville, Alabama, and a widespread panic trip that we was tripping. And if we're going to tell the story, I'll tell the whole story. Me and my buddy Joey, and I ain't going to say no last names. But if you know me, I ain't got but one buddy named Joey. We did a little LSD in Huntsville, Alabama at a panic show. And when we left, we had to go to Decatur, Alabama to a hotel. And we didn't give it enough time for the LSD to wear off completely. And if you know anything about that route from Huntsville to Decatur on the interstate, there's a lot of shit going on. I told Joey, put that dude in the middle lane and keep going until I don't give a shit if we get to Alabama or California as long as we keep driving. So this is that song. He's driving down the highway, lost a mile ago, child. Tell me where I'm going. Won't you tell me which way to go? Ride a show in Alabama. There's a park out on the front row. A couple of drops deep of pee. Don't try to catch the flow. if you keep driving, you're gonna find a road, baby. Gonna find a road, child. Just keep on driving. You ain't never growing old. You ain't never growing old. Episode of Loops Gone Wild.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and well, we got a special treat for you today. Phil just recorded his Clothes on Sunday set. Can't wait for you to see that, but we got about 30 minutes before the show, and he had you on the show in a while, man.
Yeah, catch up. Probably five or six times ever, but it's been a little while.
Yeah. I think one of the latest ones was probably like Bentonia.
Yeah, either Bentonia or we did a backroom thing at Munson's one time. I don't remember which one was last, but
yeah,
that's fun.
You couldn't do that now. I got a full-blown kitchen.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah, that you place can't even changes. Get in that little room anymore, yeah.
It don't exist. It's a kitchen.
I'll tell you exactly how long ago that was then.
Well, dude, man, tell me about it lately. Is, like, first time I've kind of seen you, like, solo like this in a while. Leaps and bounds, man, as far as, like, owning the gear and kick stomp.
Yeah, got a kick pedal down here and a stereo looper, so it's got two channels. So I run a kick into one channel and my whole guitar set up through the other channel so I can loop the kick and the guitar at the same time. And then output the kick to I use a bass DI so I can roll all the treble and everything out of it and just get a kick thump and then send it to the board. And then guitar to the amp. It's you know, it's kind of simple. It takes a lot of timing with the feet to get everything right, but and knowing when to come in and out of your own songs. Ending is probably the hardest, ending a song right.
I always try to like get at least two or three of it, like, which typically when you play it's full band, but I love the one man band, you know, whether it's like Taylor or Shake It Like a Caveman, but
yeah.
Being able to see you so, because I know like it's a lot of sitting at the house and like getting everything just right.
Yeah, I play a lot of solo shows. I've been in bands, you know, all the way through all the years, but I always played some solo shows in between, you know, just to keep busy. And I kind of evolved it over that. I used to carry around a kick with me and like a hi-hat, but I got tired of carrying all that crap, so it migrated to what it is now.
Well, just for those listening, and just what iteration are we in right now with bands, and like as far as you playing out, are you what's the current lineup?
I still do family gathering with Hunter Burrell and Caden Luke and Joseph Jernigan out of Meridian, and we play blues, kind of southern rock jam band stuff. We kind of you used to do a little more Gratefully Dead kind of stuff, but we kind of migrated lately towards more of the kind of dirty southern rock stuff. It kind of, you know, fits us well. But we're playing Meridian's doing a New Year's Eve celebration thing, Ball Drop, playing there. Some band from New Orleans is coming up to do the club we're opening for them. But yeah, that's things slowed down a little bit with that. I always go to Bentonia and play and do the blues stuff. I've been playing with Shakedown some, although that in the last, lately, hasn't been quite as much, but play a lot of keys with him, just almost strictly keys with that band. It's, you know, swapping different instruments. I've played just about anything with whoever at this point, you know.
I think on a national level, and, man, you were there for it. I mean, Good Morning America was there, and I remember, like, just seeing like the video that you shared up on I think Instagram and Facebook, just like practically on the side of the set, and I was like, it don't get much better than that.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, all the audio you heard on that video of somebody on stage was captured by Caden, me and Caden. They just pulled a XLR off our board, and so that was what it sounded like to us too there. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was kind of wild. They hung out all day, and the Good Morning America people sat right behind us for hours on end.
You know, whether it's like Robert Conley Farr or you, and like I think hell, it's probably the way that Gilbert kind of coined it. Jimmy may even talk about it like this, but I see y'all as like just ambassadors of like carry on that style.
Yeah,
the tradition.
Even if it's there, you know, there's more to Bentonia and Bentonia blues than just the tuning. And that's what most people stick on, because that's what they're trying to learn, how to play the guitar in that way. So it's an open minor tuning in, you know, whatever key you want to do it in. Originally it started in E minor, but Duck, he plays in C, all the way down in C minor sometimes. It's just whatever he feels like, really. But, it, you know, any open minor tuning, but that's just part of it. You know, there's a lot of feeling that comes along with a juke joint style blues and a real choppy, you know, kind of droning rhythm that really draws people in. And so a lot of people waste a lot of time picking apart exactly what he's doing when it's not really all that important. You know, Duck is hitting at something that they're not understanding. You know, it's a deeper thing than that. It's just this haunting, repetitive rhythm, you know, that a lot of people have a hard time. It's, you know, why there are certain blues musicians, and I won't go into any of the names, but there's certain blues musicians that what other people talk about, they talk about it being dry notes. Just, you know, I can show you the notes on how to play blues. I can show you note for note exactly
how
to
play,
but I'll never teach you how to play the blues. You have to let something, you gotta feel is all, it's all, because it's not, you know, never been about and never will be about how many notes you can play in a second. You know, it has nothing to do with that. And so you'll never be judged in the blues world on how fast you can play. So there's no point in doing it. It's not about look at me at all. You know, really, in reality, it's all adding to something. You know, so that's why when you get in Bentonia, sometimes it'll be the simplest little rhythm. Just the simplest little rhythm just being repeated. And all you'll see it just drawing people in, slowly drawing everybody in. All of a sudden, they would play the same thing for 10 minutes. And by the end of that 10 minutes, everybody out there is 2 foot from the stage. And,
rocking.
You know, yeah. And you got 10 other musicians doing the same thing. And it's wild.
Yeah, I remember just first couple times, like just going down there to meet Jimmy for the first time. And it may have been like a similar experience for a lot of people, but I drove 3 hours to Bentonia to sit down and just have a beer with mm-hmm. Jimmy. And there wasn't going to be no podcast. There wasn't going to be no interview. I drove 3 hours to see if Jimmy wanted to talk to me or not.
Enough to the where you could do a podcast at some point with him, yeah.
And I drove back down there eventually like a week or two later and had him on the show and then started like, hell, we connected through it a lot more and started going out there and just kind of helping and experiencing it. And man, I'm glad like Good Morning America and like it's getting more national attention. Although it's a very international thing and people do the blues trail, but
people notice it more in Australia than they do in Mississippi. You know?
Yeah,
sometimes you know, depending on who you're talking to, they've never heard of it.
I mean, it's like I got a friend, he runs the Blues Museum over in West Point, and like today they do a blues jam once a month, and. Man, I'd love to pick your brain about this. Is just as far as just the younger generation, and I think there's a few exceptions. You know, you got like Trenton and other guys, but it seems like the tradition of it being passed down in Mississippi is kind of, it seems like it's going away.
It is, and that's why the kind of, in my opinion, the kind of blues like Hill Country and Bentonia is more. You know, the traditional style of blues, the Delta blues and the Chicago blues, and to this younger generation, is just boring. And it's just not enough going on. It is what it is. It's just too mellow for whatever reason. But they, you know, I know from playing out and breaking out songs around people who've never heard, you know, you play the kind of music I play, 99% of places I go, they've never heard it before. It's coming. You know, you're making them, forcing them to like something or make a decision whether they like it or not like it on something they don't know. And so, like, I know that a lot of the younger people will gravitate harder towards the R.L. Burnside's kind of Let My Baby Ride and the stuff that's got a little bit of
pop
upbeat
to it,
a little bit of, a little pop to it. And that's, you know, it's important to kind of do something with the blues world, right? You can see the crossroads, and you know, you hate to say stuff like this, and maybe it could be offensive to some people, hopefully not, but the older generation is about all you see anymore at a lot of the, if you go to Bentonia, I'll be 40 in February, and I'm one of the younger ones at any given blues festival, blues night, blues anything. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy to see, you know, most of the people there are retirement age, you know, and that's just, it doesn't look good for the future unless they find a way to push this towards the younger audience. You got people like Kingfish. Kingfish is awesome. Awesome. Amazing blues musician. Go ask your average 22-year-old if they've ever heard of Kingfish. And unless they're a guitar player that's into the blues or into Telecasters, they probably haven't.
We had a...
And he's played at the White House and won Grammys. And you know what I mean? And it's just... Mm-hmm. It's what it is. It's a lack of... It's a complacency. It's a complacency with the generation, you know, that's been blues fans for the longest, and they're just complacent with being the blues fans, and they you know, it hasn't been pushed at a younger generation. And I don't want to see blues die because nobody younger than me cares about it. You know what I mean?
That's, you know, like my friend I was telling you about, man, like him running that blues museum, and he's seeing that same thing. He's like, the people that come out, the people that are coming to enjoy this, he's like, dude, when they're gone, like, it's not being passed down.
It's not.
And he said, take about 20, 25 years, and you're going to have guys picking up guitar that's going to come across a record, and then they're going to act like they invented something because it was a loss.
You're going to see it get completely lost and then hopefully revived at some point. Somebody's going to be pulling R.L. Burnside licks out in 2050 like they invented it. And, you know, I try to push it, and it's likable music. It's, you know, it's just that some of it isn't to the younger generation. You know, some of your more... Like the happy, you know, major key Delta blues style stuff is just not appealing to these guys. Now they're way more interested in the repetitive groove of something. And that, you know, being exposed to a lot of hip-hop and stuff like that, you know, the hill country blues and stuff fits in a lot better with that. It's a lot more akin to hip-hop music, and it's got the repetitive groove and usually a pretty rowdy drum beat behind it, and that's what you got to have if you're going to want to, you know, market it to the next generation, I think. And, I, you know, who knows what will happen. I'll keep playing it because I love it, but we'll see, you know, what the future holds.
If Danny, if you don't mind just going out there and just explaining it to them. Oh, we'll be wrapping up here soon. But, dude, yeah, it's just like, and I'm thinking about it here, and I think, like, a show like today is going to work well in this community is, like, because when I'm pitching these shows to people, it's like, I do a lot of Americana, a lot of folk, a lot of country, but when I brought up this show, it was like blues.
Yeah, you don't hear it. You know, And it's crazy because it really is the granddaddy of most of the music that we like now, even country music, really. You know, most of Jimmy Rogers' stuff is generally blues patterns with some different kind of words and sped up and chopped up a little bit, and they add the two and you know, they do different things in country music, but you can tell that it originated very close to the same spot. And, you know, it's a real unique... That it gave birth to so much other kind of music that it, you know, it's sad that it's kind of seems to be getting forgotten, you know.
Yeah. Well, man, we got people beginning to show up for the show.
Get ready to drop some dimes on them.
We'll do three questions and walk out of the door. Man, just for this year, and I know you just you sent me the recording.
Yeah, that's it.
Sally Mae.
I want to get. My stuff. I've done a lot of recordings with bands and all that, but like that Sally Mae I sent you, I did all that. Caden did a little bit of the filler stuff, and he did all the Caden Luke did a phenomenal job of mixing and mastering on anything he puts his ears on just about, but I played most of the instruments in that. I want to do that. I, you know, part of being a multi-instrumentalist or whatever is you kind of got to At any given time, you're almost forced to pick one, you know, and it's a weird thing. But so I kind of wanted to do the Prince thing and record all the instruments, you know. I'm not the world's best drummer, so that probably won't happen too much. But everything, you know, all the rest of the keys and harmonicas and stuff, and there's a lap steel in that, and it sounds good, you know. I like it a lot, a little slide in there. I would really like to get all of my stuff worked out about like that and do something with it.
That kind of leads into this is, you know, when I met you, of course it was guitar and bass. You had begun picking up the harmonica, and now like there's keys. You got the lap steel. It's just out of frame here, but it's right here. of, like, was it just influence or was it, like, out of necessity that kind of...
Not being able to find a keyboard player. And then I'll tell anybody who wants to be a musician more than just be a guitarist or, you know what I mean, be a musician, being that you have a kind of a higher understanding of music as a whole and, you know, be able to play more than one instrument, learn to play the keys because it lays it all out for you. If you're curious to what the four is, you know, when you hear people, go to the four, if you're playing keys, you can see the distance between the one and the four, and you can translate that anywhere. You start to understand what it means to add the nine or add the seven or something like that. It makes a lot more sense to you laid out. It's almost like written down for you. So if you really want to expand off of more than one instrument, play keys, and then other things will open up to you. Open tunings will make more sense to you. Any, you know, stepping on stage with somebody playing a song you've never heard of will make more sense to you. Just understanding music as a whole instead of just from your one tuning perspective. You know, even on a guitar, most people learn one tuning. And so you're a musician and you're a good musician, and I'm not downplaying anybody's abilities, but you understand music from one perspective out of thousands, you know, and so your only understanding of music comes from the exact way a standard tune guitar is broke down note for note wise. And you start open tuning and you have to rethink completely. So if you understand music as a whole, writing, playing the keys as opposed to playing guitars, like writing with a different color pencil. It's not as complex as it sounds. And once you understand the relationship from one note to the next, doesn't really matter what you put it on, you know. If you can play something with strings in an open tuning, you know, people talk about, well, I can play so-and-so, but I can't play a mandolin. Well, if you can play an open tuned anything, you can play a mandolin. You know, you just have not tried to play a mandolin yet, or don't have a big enough grasp of music to be able to translate what you're doing here to what you're doing here, but it's the same. Music is music, you know. It's kind of like math. It's all related to each other in a certain way, and it doesn't change, you know. So once you learn it, you got it. And so pick up a piano and learn music as a whole, for sure.
Hell yeah. Last thing to walk around the door. Man, just maybe a goal for next year. It could be a venue or breaking into something new. Like, have you got anything you really want to get after for next year?
Other than getting stuff recorded, I would like to, you know, get something a little bit more steady band-wise going, whether that be family gathering or what. It's for reasons outside of anybody's control. It's been a little hit or miss for the last few months, and I enjoy playing in a band setting, so if I'm having to do too many solo shows, I start to get antsy and want to drag a few different musicians on stage and play, you know. So we'll see. I don't know. There's a few people, if I could drag them out of the house right now, that we'd be doing something, but, you know, that's not always possible. Everybody grows up and got responsibilities, so.
That's it.
You know.
Well, last thing is, if people want to follow along their journey, what's the best social media to kind of...
Lightning Phil on whatever. Lightning Phil Sable on Facebook. I don't have much besides Facebook. I do have TikTok. I don't post a whole lot on there, but if you want to go watch the same 7 or 8 videos of me playing different instruments, go ahead. Yeah. Facebook is the main, as far as... It's the platform I've spent years establishing. It's kind of hard to give up on, so y'all... Get off of TikTok and go back to Facebook for me, please.
There you go. Well, Phil, man, thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate you. Oh, yeah.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.